the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today it is 4 weeks until Good Friday, children. And today we are meant to keep in mind all day the Old Testament Joseph, Bible history time, to think about how he prefigured in his own life exactly what would happen to our Lord during his life and during his death. Remember, the purpose for all the Old Testament stories is to get us ready for the greatest story ever told, which is the absolute truth, our blessed Savior's life, passion, death, and resurrection. So today, as we go through the rather long Old Testament lesson from Genesis about the Old Testament Joseph, you mustn't confuse him with the New Testament Joseph, our Lord's foster father, although the Old Testament stands for that Saint Joseph as well, because he was persecuted by his brethren, and he provided the bread of life during the time of famine, our Lord, and he went down into Egypt, and he was tried or tested. Those are some of the points of similarity, and most of all, because Saint Joseph is exemplified by the chastity or the purity of the Old Testament Joseph. So we have the Old Testament Joseph, and he's the next to youngest son of Jacob, and his brothers are jealous of him. That would be the Jews who come before him, who are our Lord's elder brothers according to the flesh, because he is best loved by his father, and he receives from his father, in token of his being best loved, a beautiful robe, a robe of many colors. Now our Lord, prefigured by the tunic that our Blessed Mother wove for him, the tunic that doesn't have any hems in it, that's all of one piece, that the Passion says, in consutibus, which was very valuable, which our Lord wore always, a beautiful white tunic, which at his Passion would become a robe of many colors, and that would be stained with his precious blood. So the one sort of prefigures the other. We're looking for these connections because they help us to understand the beautiful story and the plan of God much better. And then our Lord tells that he will be worshipped, and the Jews reject the very idea of his divinity, and Joseph announces that he will be honored. We would say worshipped in a secondary sense, in the sense of dulia, as we honor the saints, that Saint Joseph would be honored by his brethren one day, but they fall down before him, and they reject that very idea too. Then the brethren go, and they're working the sheep in a distant area, and the father, Jacob, wants to know what's going on with them, so he sends his son to see how things are going for the father's work. And our Lord says in today's gospel about the vineyard, the same thing. He sends his son to see how things are going and to collect the fruit, what is his, the rent, as it were. And so that kind of sets up the crisis here. Now, what's going to happen next? What happens next is that they see him coming. And in the Old Testament, they call Joseph the dreamer because he was telling them about the different wonderful dreams that he had had. And they call our Lord a blasphemer or a Samaritan, but they're terms of insult. The idea. And then they form a wicked plan in their envy against our Lord, and their envy against Joseph of the Old Testament. His brethren make a plan to get rid of him. And in the Old Testament, what do? They cast him into a cistern, a deep, kind of a dried out old well, and then when some merchants come along, they sell him down into slavery in Egypt. And how much do they sell him for? 20 pieces of silver. How much will our Lord be sold for by Judas? Plus 10. 30 pieces of silver. So you see the comparison there. So we meant to think about all of these things as we meditate today and follow today's Holy Mass. And then they send back his beautiful coat of many colors to the father Jacob. They dip it in the blood of a goat, and they say, see if this is the coat that belongs to your son or not. In other words, they give him to understand that he's killed, but actually he's been sold into slavery. So that's the Old Testament prophecy. Then in the New Testament, all of this and more actually comes true. So our Lord himself comes to the vineyard. That's the church at the time of the Old Testament. He is looking for some fruit, and there isn't any. The Jews have only caused our blessed Savior grief upon grief to his eternal Father. And now our Lord must atone for their sins, and he must do what they always refused to do. That is to say, to preach the gospel everywhere, to bring all the Gentiles to the knowledge of the one true God, to save souls. And they're angry and jealous of him, and they resolve to kill him. And that's exactly what happens 4 weeks from now on Good Friday. Now, when these stories are told, they're not only of interest so we understand more about our faith and more about the Passion and the Holy Bible, children. When these stories are told, they are meant to be a reminder and a warning to us. They are meant to remind us that we, by our sins, have killed our Lord, and that our Lord will expect from us some fruit, some produce, some good effect of our lives. It's not enough for us just to live and take care of ourselves, maybe a family, and do this and that and the other thing. We must do something great for God and for his glory, for the spread of the kingdom in all sorts of different ways. And our Lord will come looking for the fruit of our Christian lives. Today is the feast day, the devotional feast day of the Holy Shroud. The Holy Shroud is the burial linen that was put over our Lord in the tomb, and which was remarkably, first of all, which was stained with his precious blood, and then by a miracle, our Lord's holy face and form were placed upon this robe, the robe that our Lord wore in death, and it still is with us today. It's a beautiful kind of a promise, and as a miracle for everybody to see that all the stories are true, the Bible's true, and the Passion is true, and the Resurrection is true. All of this proved by the Holy Shroud of Christ that actually has a negative of our Lord's photograph on it, so we can see what our Lord's face looked like. But remember, we gaze upon the Holy Shroud, that's a little picture of it, on the side, a little side shrine there. We gaze upon the Holy Shroud, but by looking at each other as Catholics, we should be able to see the face of our Lord. That's the fruit that our Lord is looking for, God the Father, as he sends his Son to us, even today, down to the vineyard. God bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.